morning, good morning, good afternoon, good day, everybody, all of God's people. We are praising and thanking God for a new day with new, because he granted us new mercy. We are pouring everything, praising everything, giving God everything, praising all and anything. I'm going to say that again. We are praising all and anything. Who are we praising? We are praising the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the our deliverer, our waymaker. Whatever it is that you need to be praising him for, you need to get up this morning, get up on your feet, and just praise him, because you are here today. Many didn't make it today, but guess what? You are here. You are here. Life knocked on your door this morning. Hallelujah. That's enough to praise him right there. Life knocked on your door this morning. It doesn't matter what your circumstances, what your situation is. Life knocked on your door. And guess what? You answered it, because you up now this morning on our executive line, where we give God the praises, where we give him all thanksgiving, where we worship him in spirit and truth. I say again, good morning this Monday, marvelous Monday morning, this miraculous Monday morning, whatever Monday morning you want it to be. We're just grateful and thankful that we are here together in the presence of the Lord on one accord, never knowing what he is going to do, but just so thankful and grateful that he is here, that we're at the table with him, where we break the daily bread, the manna. He feeds us the living, we drink the living water. And I'm just so thankful and grateful for this platform. I just have to thank God. I constantly praise him for it. I constantly thank him for everything, because without it, I would still be that person that I used to be some time ago. And I'm so glad that God is that deliverer. I'm so glad for transparency. I'm so glad for knowing look into the mirror and be able to identify things. And guess what? I'm not ashamed about it. I'm a proud person this morning, and I'm just so grateful for God's deliverance. I'm grateful for God's miracles. I'm grateful for God's rod when he has to correct me. I'm grateful and I'm thankful. That's why I'm a praiser. That's exactly why I am a praiser, because I am just so thankful for who he is and who he, listen to what I'm getting ready to say, who he has developed me into being. I'm so grateful that during this time, this season, because of the circle that God shrunk up, he shrunk my circle so I wouldn't have so many voices coming into my ears, so I can be able to praise him. I can be able to hear what he has to say. I do will know that the things that I have going on, that God, they will be prayed for and not gossiped about. So I just want to sit and say to you all this morning, I am a praiser this morning. When my blessings go up, when my praises go up, my blessings come down. And I wish everybody just move your hand in an upward position. My praises are going up. Put your palms up in the air and send those praises up. Now turn your palms downward and let those blessings come down. You know what you're praising God for. You know what you need. And you know that he can deliver it in the name of Jesus. So we say again, good morning to all of God's people. It does not matter where you're at. We're saying good morning, good afternoon, better yet, good day. Let's have a Holy Ghost party this morning. Let's hear what God is saying, because we know that he's speaking. He has been speaking all year. He was speaking last year. We knew ahead of time about the pandemic. Why? Because we're listening. Because we're in the place where God wants us to be. God is moving. You're in whatever vehicle it is that he's transporting you. Just know that you will get there safely. Good morning, Mother Jackson. Will you please bring us in prayer? Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Mother Jackson, are you there? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Minister Chiquita, are you there? Bring us up in prayer.
Thank you, God, for the things that you're bringing into our life, oh God. We thank you, God, for the peace, oh God, the joy, oh God. We thank you, God, for you, oh God, doing the things that you do, oh God, like nothing for, oh God. We thank you, God, because it's truly, God, been a walk with you, oh God, like never before, oh God. An honorable walk, oh God, like never before, oh God. That I'm pleasing, God, to walk with you, God. I'm pleased to walk and serve you, oh God, like never before, oh God. As you continue to, God, to serve as we continue to serve you, God, as you continue to pour in us, God, the things that we need to facilitate your church, oh God, and help bring people to the light of you, oh God. May we continue to, God, to be strong, God, and be bold in your word, oh God. May we continue to, God, to seek your presence, God, no matter what, God, is going on in our life, no matter the circumstance, no matter what it looks like, God. We will continue to walk with you, oh God, strong with God, tall, God, with you, oh God. We will continue to seek your face, God. We will stand up happy with you, oh God. We will continue to serve you, God, no matter what, God. We did not lay down, God, because we know, God, that this is something that's bringing for our life, oh God. True blessing, God, that you're bringing it up into it, God. We thank you, God, for you this, oh God. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, God, for the hope, God, that the promises, God, that you give us in our life, oh God, that your word never comes back void, oh God. We know this, oh God. We thank you, God, for the men and women, God, that's on this line that come here, God, every day to seek the word, God, to get the nourishment, to get the full enrichment of you, oh God, to us, oh God. We thank you, God, for pouring in us, oh God, so we can pass the word on to them, God, the way you should have us to do it, oh God. No other way, oh God. Not my way, God. Not any other way but your, God. Your way, oh God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God. Thank you, God, for giving us the truth and the life, oh God, every day, oh God, as we come here and commune, oh God, and receive the fellowship with you, oh God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God. We thank you, God, for King God, to instill in us the things we need to know for the betterment of our life, oh God, so we can walk with you, with God, like never before, oh God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God. Thank you, God, for the protection that you have over our life and our family's life, oh God. We thank you for the men and women, God, that come forth and that do the work for you, oh God. We thank you, God. Continue to pull with them, oh God. Continue to pull with me, oh God. The things that you need us to do, oh God, because it's abundant times that need to be done, oh God. And we shall uphold you, God, like never before, oh God. We thank you, God. And it's in your name, oh God, we pray, God, like never before, oh God. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen, amen, and amen. Let that amen mean something. Listen, saints. Y'all know I'm a reminder. Y'all already know that. So yesterday, and trust and believe, I cannot even touch what took place on yesterday because it was so, I don't know if you all know what the word surreal means, but it was just, it was just, for me, it was just something so different. It wasn't scripted. It wasn't some our service yesterday. God, the Holy Spirit moved instantly. It was one of those suddenly moments. It was no program put in set into place. It was strictly one of those moments where the Holy Spirit just came in and say, I got this. I need you to move over. I just need you to follow my lead. I have this. And with that, deliverance took place. Yesterday was a deliverance service, and it was online. And I want to sit and say to you, it does not matter where you're at, where you need to be delivered. If you're listening to the word of God, if you being true to yourself, the cause, and know exactly what you need, God will do it for you because he does not want us to stay in the same place. But as the service went on, I was sitting and just taking notes for myself because although it was for Father's Day, one thing about God, he's not a respecter of persons. He was truly speaking to me in some things in my area. And as I thought about it last night, I texted Minister Chiquita one thing, and then as I continued to think about it, and when I say think about it, I was thinking about it. I was praising the Lord. Yesterday was a beautiful day for me. I praised him. I praised him. I wasn't feeling well. Even when I thought about me not feeling well, I got up. I praised him some more. And this morning, I'm just rejuvenated, resurrected, whatever it is, restored. Hallelujah. Restored, restoration. And I want to talk about it. I want to
talk about it, but it reminded me as I sat and was writing my notes and this morning where it brought me back to was the prodigal son. But I don't want to talk about the things that the prodigal son did because that does not, to some it relates and to some it don't. What I want to talk about, and for you, I believe everybody knows what the prodigal son was. The father had, it's a parable that Jesus had taught about the lost son in Luke 15. And a father had two sons. The youngest son wanted his part of his inheritance. He took it. He went out. He ruined it. But what I want to pick up is that in verse 17, it says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to him, even the hired servants had food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. And the reason it relates is because what happened was he made a conscious decision. He made a conscious decision that this is where I'm at. This is what I'm going through. I made some terrible mistakes, and this is how I'm living, but I have to get it right. I have to get it right. So he came to his senses, and he even, if you further go on, he even rehearsed what he was going to say to his father. He even rehearsed. And see, the reason God has me here this morning is because in the prodigal son story, what was so profound about it, and that it let me know that God is a forgiver. God is a forgiver. God is a God that he does not sit and come back and constantly remind you of the things that you've done in the past or remind you of the things that other people have done to you in the past. See, God is a God that we get up, we do a true confession, we repent, we ask for forgiveness, and then we move on. He moves us on. He doesn't stay right there. We, as humans, think about it because I did. And yesterday when Apostle Temple was talking, he was saying, we have to ask God to forgive us first. And it may sound crazy because you may have been the victim, but the thing of it is he continues to pour into you and us. He opens the door for us to come out of situations. He gives us the opportunity to renew our minds and ask for him, us to create in us a clean heart. This is what David did. He did it. See, when we get in situations, and I didn't understand this, my delivery started on Friday in a conversation. I didn't realize that I still had some things going on deep down inside. I mean, deep rooted down inside, and it took a act for it to come out. And I was that person that was still stuck looking for somebody to, those who had harmed me, to come back and give me an apology or give me a forgiveness when God has already moved me on from that from years and years ago. It was like he was talking directly to me because God had already moved me. That's why I'm the person that I am today. But we as humans, we get stuck in that place. But here with the prodigal son, even when he did his mess, when the daddy, his father, scripture say, and I'm paraphrasing, as he was coming, as he got closer to home, the father saw him. And see, one thing about God, when we have made that conscious decision, it don't matter how far off we are. He is, as long as we want him to draw nearer to us, he's going to draw nearer to us. He's going to draw. He's going to be that safety blanket. He's going to be that eraser. He's God erasing things away from you because your mind, your thoughts, everything is focused on the goodness of him. Everything is focused. If you really sit back, and that's what God allowed me to do yesterday. If I really sat, once I really sat back, do I have anything to complain about? Do I have anything to have to keep knocking on people's doors and expecting them to come back and say this for some years ago, not knowing what their situation is, not knowing that they may have given me the best of all they had. And with the prodigal son, the father gave him the best. He gave him his portion of his inheritance. And yes, he blew it. He did some crazy things, but he came back. He made a conscious decision to come back. And when he came back, the father didn't sit and say, remember, I gave you this money. You went and blew it. I did this. You went and blew it. You know what he did? He told his servants, go and get the best robe. Go kill the fattest goat. Go whatever. We're getting ready to have a party here because my son has made his way back. God is more concerned about us coming into the kingdom and staying in the kingdom. See, God already realizes that we all are going to fall short of his glory. He understands that. It's just you and I need to know that he already knows. He already knows. We can't put ourselves, as I was told on Friday, in a performance place. We just got to be just who we are. We can't be in a place where we worrying about what this person is going to think of if you do it this way to please them. No, you got to be who you are because that's who God has chosen you to be. That's who God has wonderfully created you to be. Because no matter what you have done, once you make that conscious decision and come back, he's going to what? He's going to meet you where you are. He's not going to be in a place of giving you a remembrance of your hurt and your pain and your shame. He's not going to keep you in a place. God does not want us to be in a place where we're unhappy. He wants us to be happy people. He wants us to run around like the deer, the hinds, their hind feet, running around being happy and being free. Of course, we're going to go through some situations. We're going to go through some circumstances, but we can't allow the circumstances to outdo us because if so, you'll be in a prison. You'll be a captive, a prisoner to yourself, not to man. You're keeping your own self in bondage. And I love the prodigal son because, as I keep saying, he made a conscious decision. He even rehearsed what he was going to say before he got there. He felt that he wasn't worthy enough to be his father's son anymore. He was going to the father to ask him to let me be one of your servants. Let me be one of your hired help. He thought he wasn't worthy enough, but I'm going to tell you something, my God, because if I ever told you some of the things that you would sit and say, no, God would never erase that off of you. But I'm here today to tell you I'm a living testimony, a testimony that will tell the world that I am free indeed. I became free indeed yesterday because that is one of the most major, that was the root of the thing for my rage, for my anger, my short temper or whatnot was because I'm looking for people to forgive, for them to say, I forgive you when I need to forgive myself. And I was the victim, but I understand in order for me to get my blessings, I got to, because see, when we sit, and we have all type of things running through our mind. We sin into. We are sinning too. When your mind is all over the place and you sitting and you got all these type of things held up and you thinking about this person and you thinking about that person and you don't talk to that person about it. When you go to sleep, that the wrath, you're allowing the wrath to go down overnight. You're taking it in to the next day. You're not releasing it. You're not releasing yourself from what needs to be released. I'm not going to go any further. I'm going to turn it over to Apostle Temple, but I want to say this to you all. I want to say it in truth and in honesty. We have to learn to let go of things that we cannot control. We cannot hold other people hostage because they may not even really know. Or they may have done the best that they could at whatever point it was in their life. And they gave you the best. They gave you all that they could give you. They may have not known any better. But when I sit Every time the thought comes across my mind, or every time somebody says something and I feel like it's going wayward, then those thoughts come flushing back in. And then I'm huffing and I'm puffing, not giving the person the opportunity to really sit and say what's needed to be said, because I already went 100 miles per hour while they were still on one mile per hour. So I sit and say to you all today, understand, when you can recognize and identify your situation and you make a conscious decision that you're going to turn that thing over, just know that God is right there. He's waiting for you. He's right there with his arms open. Come, he's drawing nearer to thee as you're drawing nearer to him. And just know that he will make it all right. He will make it all right. You can't make it all right. That's why it is so important to depend on God for everything. It's so important to have your faith in God. It's so important to have your trust in God, your belief in God, because he is the only one that can make it right. That relationship that you have with him, that's when he say, cast all your cares, he's meaning that. Cast all your cares, because, see, God knows that we can't fix it by ourselves. He knows that. That's why he puts people around you to help you to learn to identify what needs to be fixed, what needs to be whatever. Sometimes you need a sounding board. It's good to get a sounding board, because we can't see things because we the victim. We can't see different things because we the victim. And every time the person say something to you about it, it's like, oh, Lord, here they come again. But they identify it. And I received it. So I'm delivered. In the name of Jesus. Good morning, Apostle Temple.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. God bless all of you. God bless all of you, God's people. Amen. God is good and God is great. I'm talking about it's awesome. Listen, this topic is a topic for everybody. This is a topic to where you really need to examine your life. Everything that's dealing with the kingdom of God and dealing with biblical things, you need to examine your life. Amen? Because one thing about it, when you be on the other side as the victim always look at things that are done to them. They don't see what they've done to the situation or done to the things. They always deal with the things that is done to them. That's their perspective. That's what they see. That's their outlook. So they always become victim of circumstances, victim of situations, victim of conversations, victim of some everything, amen, because they're dealing with things that is pertaining to them. Because in a victim, what a victim mind is, a victim already constantly is aware of their shortcomings. So they are aware of the shortcomings, the mistakes, of different things they've done. So when something sounds like, or if it's something that is pertaining to, even though it's not to them, but it sounds like their situation, sounds like their issues, it sounds like their mistakes, it sounds like what they've been through, now they begin to take on that identity as if you are dealing with them, as if the situation coming at them. And then we begin to lay into self-pity, because instead of us, we begin to look at the situation or individuals, you should, instead of talking about my situation, you should be feeling sorry for me, even though you ain't even over there dealing with that kind of stuff, you know. But that's the victim mentality. A lot of people need to get free from that. And when people is in that mentality, they constantly holding on to stuff that God says, you already overdue your time that you should have been delivered. So now you choosing to holding on to different things that you feel as though is pertaining to you, instead of you releasing it and getting delivered. Now you done made this situation a way of your life. And when it becomes a way of your life, that's what it becomes. You begin to get reward or your rewards from it. Now, not all rewards are great. Some rewards are a struggle. Some things you'll go through hard times. It's because you chose that path. Many people say, well, you know, I didn't choose that path. You might not choose that path in your mind. You got to understand. You might know what you want in your mind, but further as your decisions, further as your actions, further as you carrying on stuff and all this kind of stuff that you have inside of you, you chose that decision. That is the true decision maker. Amen. Your actions, the way you, your perceptions, the things that you look, how you perceive things, how you allow things to come over you, trouble you. These are the things that will cause you to choose the direction you want to go. I'm going to break this down just a little bit because this prodigal child, it reflects, if I can say, everyone. Amen? Everyone. Because it has so much a depth in it, so much a meaning in it that you can really take this and really navigate this in different directions. First of all, let's look at this young man. This young man was in a house of royalty. He was in a house or a place of blessing. How many of us be in a place of blessings? You're in a place of blessings right now. See, the problem is we get so blessed to where we begin to be common with the blessing. And once we start being common with the situation, we will begin to think that it's other things out there better than what I am in. It's so many people get common and they in their blessed areas and where they are blessed at right now. They start getting common. They start getting immune to it. Amen. They start getting immune. So now they begin to pick up this entitled spirit. They begin to pick up entitled. I'm entitled. And some of us get so grown to where we feel as though I can handle this. Well, you don't understand that if it have not been for the covering of God and God keeping you, you have been wiped out a long time ago. You've been going through so much of hardship a long time ago, and you don't fought and got into that place. Not even you, my God, probably didn't put up all the fight, but God don't allow others to go before you and put up the fight, and you going along and sitting in the back seat and come along with the ride instead of you enjoying the blessed place. Y'all hear me? Instead of you enjoying the blessed place, you got some other stuff that you have going on, wrong motives, wrong intentions. So you make that decision to come out of your blessed place. The prodigal child made that decision to come out of his blessed place. It's just like the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not going to hold you hostage. It's not going to hold you and say, no, you're going to stay right here. He's not going to kidnap you and hold you in a place of captivity. You make that choice if you want to walk out of your blessed place, or if you want to walk out of any place or anything that God done bless you in your life, you make that the choice. You make that decision, regardless of how that decision came about, but the simple fact of you made that decision. Some people allow other people to make that decision for them. Y'all hear me? And what I mean for them, because they put them into a place of frustration. Now you're getting tired. Now you got all this going on to where you openly make that decision. I can't do this no more. I quit. I got to go. I'm gone. Amen. And it happened that decision was made from other people, from other situation, from other circumstances. Amen. How many of us ever been in that situation to where you got so tired to where you just want to move? I done dealt with so many people to where they felt as though if they move to another state, if they leave this area or leave their dwelling places, their situation is going to be better. Oh, no. Oh, no. Because you got to understand, it's not your surroundings, amen, that has the problem. It's us that has the problem. The problem lies in the inside of us. And you could go to another country, amen, my God, in another country could come over here to America. But if you have not dealt with what's in you, you're going to turn your surroundings or turn your situation into the same situation that you left from. All you having is a new scenery, new people, and a new situation that you are in, but it's going to come up to the same results that you always be having, and all you're going to say is this thing that's constantly following me. And the number one thing that people, it's so funny with church folks, and it's number one thing that we begin to use, amen, when we begin to have constant situations that happen, somebody don't put something on me, and this thing don't follow me. Lord have mercy. That's the number one. Somebody don't put, I just got this dark cloud following me and I got all this. Amen. You can make the decision to turn things around yourself. Amen. The prodigal child, he made that decision to leave from the safety, leave from the covering. Amen. He made that decision that, my God, he chose that path. And because he chose that path and got comfortable, and that's some of us, we get so, my God, we got so fat with the blessings of God to now we got our legs crossed and we so comfortable. We got coming with the blessing. And because of that, it causes us to make some irresponsible decisions. It causes us to get caught up more into ourselves other than getting more caught up into the Lord. And it causes us to lose certain things. See, one thing, this is where I talk to my wife a lot, and I shake my head from a lot of situations that I see. Because one thing about it, you don't see the loss right away. The prodigal child, watch this, didn't see the loss right away when he left. When he left, he was still blessed. Y'all hear me? When he left, he still was blessing. But it wasn't nothing when he left from up under the covering. It wasn't nothing that he had in his life to sustain the blessing. All he had, watch this, this is going to slap somebody. All he had is knowledge, what was instilled to him at the house, and he had knowledge and remembrance what he lived in. But he did not have no substance or anything to sustain the blessings. And this is where people mess up at, because at the end of the day, the approval of God was upon their facility, was upon the hand of the Father, the hand of the land, and everything that was in that area, the hand of the Lord was upon them. This is where people mess up, because we think that we got it now. I tell people just like this, because you got some knowledge, it doesn't mean you have substance. I want to let you know something real quick, thanks of God, that the devil has knowledge, but the devil doesn't have no substance. The devil have remembrance, amen, my God, of different things, amen, but he doesn't have substance. The devil could quote you some, he could tell you some things that happen in heaven, my God, in events and different things that goes on in heaven, better you could quote it out the Bible, but the devil doesn't have no substance or things to sustain him into that what? That blessed place. And this is where many people mess up at, and we get so many, my God, especially young spiritual children, amen, get the big head because they think they're grown now. Amen. You don't have a vision. You don't have a dream. You got a little couple of dollars. My God, things starting to happen for you. Now we get a little comfortable and we get a little common, and because we got a little, we understand and have a little knowledge, and we call ourselves want to break out and want to do stuff with our grown self, and we realize that it's not that easy, because you are enjoying things from the back seat or the passenger side. It's the difference when you got to drive the car. Y'all about to hear me. You can relax over there on the passenger side. You can go to sleep on the back seat. But long as that driver is on that road, that driver still got to be alert. That driver still, my God, got to be aware of his surroundings. You could be relaxed, but the driver can't. And now once you don't switch seats and got on that driver's side, you realize that you didn't have enough substance to sustain you. You thought you had some knowledge. All I got to do is put that key in, crank it up, turn that stick down into D, put it in the D for drive, and hit the gas, and I'm going on about my business, staying in the lane, and I don't have to worry about nothing. But you ain't aware of, you got to watch out for these other drivers. You got to watch out for suddenly stop, people cutting you off. You got other things that you have to be aware of. See, because you was protected in the back seat and you had to deal with that on the passenger side, you thought that you can handle things. This is where people got to understand. This is why you need to, my God, it's a blessing if you have a teachable and a humble spirit, because the moment you make that decision to go ahead and do different things and God have not chose you to do so, my God, how can you continue to be sustained? And when a prodigal child left, he left, my God, blessed.
He left blessed. He didn't get bankrupt overnight. No. He didn't go into debt overnight. No. He was still blessed. He was having a good time. This is why I tell folks, listen, let them lie on you. Because one thing about it, at the end of the day, trust me, you don't have to get all in a frenzy, because a lie will have its time to where it's going to cause some itchy ears. It's going to cause, my God, it look like it's going to overtake you. But give it some time, baby, because only thing that is true and authentic is going to stand. And it's going to keep living, and everything else is going to fall. People know the truth about you, my God, 5 or 6 years ago, even though they don't come and tell you that they was wrong. Can I talk to somebody, my God Almighty, to let somebody know at the end of the day, people know the truth about that situation. I feel like I'm prophesizing to somebody. People know the truth about that situation, but one thing about it, their pride and their ego is not going to allow in the shame of them, thank you, Holy Ghost, because they shame, amen, they ain't going to come back and tell you that they was wrong. They'll keep on living like you was wrong, but they know the truth about that situation. You best to believe, from a God-fearing believer, it comes to a time even your haters going to know the truth about you. But one thing about it, your haters might not come back and tell you that they was wrong. They might not come back and tell you that they are sorry. They might not come back and tell you that they outlook about you and they understand it about situation that you were trying to help them with. They might not come back and tell you that they messed up, and you got to understand to live with that, because you the one need to set yourself free. You don't have to worry about somebody trying to set you free. You got the keys to your own jail cell. You open up your jail cell and you set yourself free. They don't have that authority or have that power to come into your dominion and open up your door and set you free. Stop waiting on folk to set you free. Watch this. Even though the father has some issues with him doing it, but the father granted him, but the father still went on and they lived their life. The family still had to go on and live their life. People stop, my God. Listen, people stop living because some folks don't walk down out of your life. People begin to stop living and stop breathing because people that you truly love, they lied on you. They backstab you. Baby, let me tell you something. It still goes on. The life still goes on. Can I speak life into somebody this morning and let you know at the end of the day, it still go on? My God, that the watch, that commercial, my God, that time watch, they made an awesome commercial, amen, that you could take it for your life, amen. My God, you take a licking and you keep on ticking. My God, is there anybody this morning that could say that, Pastor, I took a licking and you best to believe I'm keep on ticking? Y'all best to hear me, because why? It's substance that's sustaining me to keep me ticking through these times where that licking done came. At the end of the day, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now watch this. Now he done had a party. He got that money. He done got a party. He had some friends. He done had all kinds of people. Now it's attracting them and all this kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, my question, where everybody was at when he was in a good place? You better watch out for these folks that all of something, you want to run from everything, leave from everything, and now they want to come and be by your side. You better be careful, my God Almighty, who you allow in your space, because the same ones, my God, that you allow in your space is the same ones going to suck you dry. And once you suck dry, you don't have nobody. The question is, when he got hungry, where all them people he don't party with had a good time? When he needed something to eat, where they at then? When he needed shelter over his head, way at there. How many of you don't been into that place? I'm talking to somebody, my God. You don't been into that place. You too busy worrying about somebody else, but when you needed something to eat, where are they? You too busy worrying about other folks' shelter. Well, you need to be worrying about your own shelter, because it'd be you getting evictions, no distress. Now, what you going to do? And everybody else living life good, they ain't stunning you. You too worrying about, my God, I might have trying to help somebody else, but how many times you don't seen the people that you try to help They don't post to that Facebook, geez, I'm at Disney World and still playing with your money. Y'all about to hear me. Baby, you about to, it comes to a time to where God said, you ain't learned your lesson yet. My God, some of you deserve to be in what you want to be in. Because at the end of the day, if they ain't going to pay you your $10 back for gas, what you think they're going to pay you $500 back for rent? Y'all about to hear me up in here. You got to understand that it's a lesson to everything. Stop about people patting you on your back. You in good graces with them because, my God, they using you and you allow them to use you. You have to be up. You have to be okay with even the folks that got something to say about you. You have to be okay even the folks that give you the thumbs up. You have to be okay about being okay, my God, permanently about yourself. Is anybody there? Is anybody there? I'm talking to the air or to the frequency. Amen. You have to be okay. So many people is in debt right now, still trying to recover and still trying to come out of situation because you don't make decision and party with everybody else. And now when you needed something, where are they? Now when you needed something, and you can't get mad at them, amen, because at the end of the day, they had it in the first place. My God, you was the one that had it, and you coughed it up, and now you try to get something out of somebody that didn't have it in the first place, and you're looking at them saying, now you got it, you got your return, you got this, you got that, when you can pay me my money back. Baby, let me tell you something, and let me give y'all some wisdom. At one point in their life, they already had finances, they had good things, but because of the decisions that they made, amen, it caused them to lose different things, and now they looking at you to help them with the come up, and when they come up, if they have not had a paradigm shift in their life, if they mind have not changed or been renewed, baby, they're going to go back to the old them. It ain't nothing changed. Amen. Everybody, my God Almighty, is good and comes to their senses when they at the bottom, when they don't have nothing else. Y'all about to hear me. When they don't got nothing to lose and you already at the bottom, it's nowhere else other than up. Amen. Until you get some space between you and the situation. And once you get some space between you and the situation, guess what's going to happen? The true you is going to change. I was talking to other individuals one day, and I was having a meeting with this individual, and I was letting this individual know, like, at the end of the day, I got one eye on you, amen? I got one eye on you. I'm going to keep it on you, because one thing about people, they need things when they in hard times in a situation, but that doesn't mean that they change. Y'all about to hear me? That doesn't mean that situation is worked out or they came to themselves. That means, my God, long as they in the gutter, they're going to need to come out of the gutter. And when you come out of the gutter, then they'll start showing you who they truly are, if they change or something happened. So some of you need to start getting mad at folks and start having stuff in your heart about people, amen, going about their business. It's a good learning lesson for you, amen. And some of you, it probably was an expensive learning lesson. Look at it this way. You just invest into you to get your people PH degree. That's all you did. You invest, my God, to get a people PH degree. And now you don't graduate it at the top of your class. My God Almighty, don't go back and start school all over again. And you got to get reschooled. Now you got an issue in your heart with people. And people is not the issue. The issue is going to be you, because you should walk with wisdom. You should understand now how many times you got to stick your hole, stick your hand in these different holes and continue to get bit by the same snake.
Okay. So the Bible declares, watch this, I'm about done. The Bible declares, my God, he got so hungry he went to eating with the hogs. He began to eat with sloths. Amen. See, this is the thing to where it gets me with church people, and they get up on this attack stuff. I'm up on an attack. One minute, how in the world that God going to keep allowing you to go through attack, amen, and to where he is promoting you stay in a blessed place. He is promoting that he's Jehovah Jireh. He's promoting that you can cast your cares on him. He's promoting that you stress not, don't fret not, don't fear not. I got your back. He's promoting all that. Then on the other hand, he got to promote that you in the gutter. He promoting that you eating with slops and you eating with a hog. He's promoting all that. But one hand, he's promoting that you're going to come out and you are going to be blessed. And on the other hand, we speak like he's promoting, my God, me being in this situation. I'm sorry, God
doesn't promote you being a poverty situation. He breaks the back of the spirit of poverty. He don't promote that you are walking in the spirit of lack. He breaks the back of the spirit of lack and bring increase into your life. He doesn't promote that kind of stuff. That's the stuff that we walk in from the decision that we walk in ourselves. That the Bible speaks of, you seek me first, the kingdom of heaven and the righteous and the glory, then all these things will be what? Added to you. God is an additional God. We don't want to take on the subtraction, my God, ourselves, because we allow things to take on or to deduct from our life. God is trying to increase, but we allow things to deduct from our life. Look at the children of Israel. The children of Israel with that first generation, and my God, that walks to been walking in the wilderness because of their ways. They allow the timing, they allow the years that they spun out there to be deducted from them. And God said, you ain't even had to be out there long enough. So I gave you a short timing, and y'all don't increase or put deduction on your years that you spun out there in the situation because of who? Because of you. So now he eating with the sops, he eating with the hogs, all the people he done drunk with, done party with, where are they? They ain't even say, come on in, you come and get you, my God, a sugar sandwich, a mayonnaise sandwich. If y'all don't know what that is, my God, look it up. Get in the Abundance Dictionary. You got an I wish sandwich. Didn't even give you an I wish sandwich, amen? Didn't even give you some, my God, water with a little bit of flavor in it. Think about it if it's Kool-Aid or something, amen? They ain't even give you with a hot dog on a fork. At the end of the day, you had to eat with the slops. You had to eat with the hog. Even the man that throwing the slop out there to the hog didn't even invite you in. Sometimes God got to shed. Sometimes it ain't even much your friends or it ain't even much the people around you. Sometimes God got to shed every door around you to lead you back where you need to go at. My God almighty. Every door has to be shed because that some of you, my God, if God don't shed something throwers around you, you'll still be out there playing in your mess right now. Let's be honest. You'll still be out there having a good time if you have a surplus. And some of us, we messing up our money in our life, but God can bless us financially because God already know if I go in and bless you financially, you're going to keep on continuing the foolishness that you have going on. So you the one putting the hindrance on the things in your life that I want to do for you. Why in the world God want to bless somebody with an unlimited out income and they got all kinds of drug addiction, all these addiction in your life, in their life? Now you're going to make it easier for them to get how much and how much they want, how much they want to enjoy. So instead of God is helping you, God is killing you. Why God want to put you in a state, my God, to where he's going to allow these things to kill you because you have not come into the place that I need to keep these things, get these things out of you, out of here. It's something that is attaching to your life. It's causing poverty to come in. It's something that's attaching to your life. It's causing things to drain out of you. And it's causing my life, it's like a leech sucking the living life out of your body. And the Bible declares, when he came to himself. See, this is the problem right here. My God, we waiting on somebody to come. See, I don't need to preach to you. Nobody don't need to come to you and tell you about your wrong. Nobody don't need to come and tell you what you need to do for you to get it together. You know you're wrong, amen? If you don't, listen, let me help some of y'all out right now to save you some stress. If a person have not come to they self and realize the wrong on their own, and somebody got to constantly tell them about they wrong, baby, let me tell you something. That person ain't ready. That person is not ready, my God almighty, to take that step with you or ready to come back in your dwelling place. That person, my God, finna get ready to reveal who they really are, and you finna be the one that got. It's when they come to they self. It's when they done seen their own wrong. They don't need you. Listen, wrong don't need you to convince it that it was wrong. My God, is anybody there? I'm helping anybody, amen? And you trying to convince you know you're wrong, baby. You know you this year. Baby, they don't need no convincing. They already know they wrong. They just trying to get you on their team but they can look at their situation as their situation is right. They know they was wrong, but they need a little clique. They need a little group, amen? They need a little somebody to be on their side because they ain't ready to come back in. And long as they got other folks on their side, this is where I got a problem with these untrained leaders and untrained of preachers and these runaway prophets that prophesy cussing and ministering this foolishness other than telling folks the truth. Because when you tell folks the truth, that's the only thing that's going to set them free. You could be shouting and still bound. You could be crying and still proud. You could be speaking in tongues and still bound. It's none of them things that said in the Bible that it says is going to set you free. The Bible already declares that it's going to be many in the last days say, Lord, Lord, I don't cast out demons in your name. I don't did all this in your name. And the Bible still declares, and God says, you depart from me, for your work is of iniquity. So don't come and tell me that because you running all over the floor, you got it. Baby, you can still be bound. You can still be in a place of bondage. Amen. You can be, my God Almighty, still in the spirit. You can still be bound. Don't you remember the story in the Bible that the man of God was in the prison, was in the jail cell? Y'all about to hear the angels of the Lord appear? You can still feel God in a place of prison, in a place of isolation. That don't set you free. What sets you free? When you come to yourself and deal with the truth about who you are and your situation, that's what's going to set you free. Somebody need to write, I need to deal with the truth about my line issues. I need to deal with the truth that I got coming with the blessings. I need to deal with the truth that I ran away from different things. No one don't have that authority. No one have that power. I need to deal with the truth about me. And the scripture declares when he came to himself, he began to what? Make his way back home. Baby, let me tell y'all something. Folks could come and tell you this and tell you all that. If they don't have a humble spirit, my God, a spirit of humility. Some of these folks, yeah, I did wrong. They got a spirit of arrogance. They got a spirit, yeah. You know, let's move on from that now. I already know. I seen it. I move on. Baby, you need to send them right back up the road that they came down on, because they finna be a bunch of mess, because they got a spirit of arrogance. They just feel comfortable. And the moment they get about 10 more dollars in their pocket, they gonna let you know it ain't for me. It ain't for me. My God, I began to pray, my God, some months ago and some time ago, I began to pray, and when the Lord began to tell me, say, son, that is it. You don't have to go through this stuff with people no more. You done did your part. You done hold on the test. I am pleased with you. So I began to pray immediately. I say, Father, I don't got time for folks that doesn't want to be here, and they got another scheme, and they got another agenda that is going on, and they got different motives, amen? So, God, I want to deal with them at the beginning. Don't let them get their roots in. Don't let them get comfortable. Don't let them get situated. Amen. We need to go ahead and re-exit them back out the door. And there have been situations that happen where at the end of the day, my God Almighty, same folks that came back in, it's the same folks that got Ursula right back out, quick, fast, in a hurry. Some of you need to say that same prayer, because you don't got time to pour all your hard work and all your energy and, my God, and waste any more time and waste any more breath on folks got a hidden agenda. You need to let them arrogant folks go right back, my God, down the road that which they came.
Is anybody there? Is anybody there? Folks that come and say, you know what, I know I did wrong. I'm sorry. I said I'm sorry. You don't have to keep saying that to me. I'm listening to folks got arrogance. So now you don't want me to eat at the table because now you realize that I'm this and that came down, and now you don't want to talk to me like I want that I need to be talked. Folks are arrogant. Even though the prodigal child, he was humble enough and say, listen, Father, take me back in. If I got to work with the servants, out there in the field, I just want to come on back in. See, that's a humble person right there, because they, let me talk to some of your pastors, they ain't going to come back, my God, and don't mess up, and they don't mess up with you, and don't mess up with the church, and mess up with the things of the Lord, and they ain't come back and try to grab the mic and try to preach to somebody and trying to pray. They will take the opportunity to sit their tail down. My God, they will accept that role if they got to go and pick up the paper. If they ain't worried about being humiliated or being embarrassed, amen, that's a person ain't ready right there. They ain't worried about that. All they worried about, I just need to get back in my place. Even if I have to get into another position,
again. Long as I'm back into my place, you better stop allowing these arrogant folks, my God Almighty. I don't know. Is there a pastor on this line tonight, this morning, amen, I'm talking to? You better stop giving these arrogant people position because they want to come to you with the fake tears and all that kind of stuff. Baby, I sit and watch. I'm a watcher. I just sit and watch. And I don't get gravity. I'm going to be professional with you, but I ain't going to let you come on in like that, especially when you don't crowd your way out. And my God, or the Lord had to disconnect you, you ain't going to come on in like that. You got to watch, amen, and let people earn their right. Many of you ain't letting folks earn their right. You just a good or two shoes saint, and next thing you know, they done been bop you over your head, and now you're mad. Lord have mercy. Here come the devil again. No, baby, you ain't use wisdom, and you ain't let folks earn they. You cannot get that favor from how people talk about from God just like that, like it's a snap of the finger. The devil is a liar. You can't get the trust of God just like that. You have to earn that trust. You got to earn that favor. It ain't about you going, you, my God, you got to live this life. But ain't too long ago, my God, about seven years ago, come into the trust and the favor of God. All these years from the age of 19, 20, serving him faithfully, amen, I had to earn that right to walk with God. You got to earn this thing. So at the end, the father said, no, get the best ring, get the best thing, because he showed a way of humility. He showed trueness that his mistakes was his mistakes. And it had to do with you, Father. He ain't going there and bring the blame and say, well, you know, my brother, he always be bullying me. You know, Father, you always look at the other folks more than you look at me. You don't have no time that you spend with me, so you ain't have no time. And it developed this. I just needed more of your attention. I just need more of this. And because I ain't getting all this here, it made me do this here. I'm a father now. I can't put the blame on my God, my biological father, because I don't know him. He wasn't there. He ain't taught me nothing. He ain't taught me anything. He didn't help me to provide. I don't know what a provider looked like. I don't know that. Baby, listen, all the excuses are nailed to the cross because of what? I got my own. I need to learn it. Amen. See, it's no excuses when it comes to God. And folks sympathize in excuses and think excuses. My God, some folks think excuses is not excuses, but at the end of the day, it's excuses. And we got to understand, only thing God accepts is accountability pertaining to you in your situation and the things that you've done. Regardless of what caused it, at the end of the day, it still caused it. And at the end of the day, it was your decision to allow what caused certain things in your life to happen in your life. Amen? Some of you need to wake up and truly wake up. Don't wake up because you're in the gutter. Don't wake up because you are truly need. You truly miss your opportunity. You truly see what you had in your life because of what God done provided. Wake up out of your dead situation. Wake up out of the situation. Stop trying to manipulate. Stop trying to scheme for, because that the only person going to get the bad end of the stick is going to be you. Back to you, Evangelist.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Apostle. Thank you so much for that rhema word. It was a rhema word yesterday, and it's still flowing today. And this is what God, thus said the Lord. That's what God is speaking. So I just encourage you all to just everything that was said today, apply it to your life. Apply it. We have to see self. We have to. So we just know that ADM, we are just continuously to showing you all just how much God loves us. And the way he loves us is through spirit and truth. And sometimes the things may not be something that you feel. You may have an ouch moment, but it's good to have that ouch moment, because you know that ouch moment, that pinch, that sting is to love God, is God is showing you love. So many of us have been just left out and not realizing what the true love of God is, because one, we may not have identified it. Two, we may not have been taught the truth, but God is speaking truth. He is speaking truth in this time. So we all, everybody, please pay attention to the movement of God. Pay attention. Get on the train. Ride. Whatever is not of him, doing that ride, trust and believe, you will not be the same. The same way you entered, by the time you get to your destination, you will not be the same. ABM loves you, but we do realize that God loves all of us most. So we ask you to continue to just go on your day. Think about what God has spoken on this morning. See where it applies. Gravitate to it. Grasp it. Hold on. Don't let it go under no circumstances. Hold on to the words of God because it is for a betterment in Jesus' name. So we'll see you back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. God bless. Have a great day.